Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, November 13th, 2012, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-hosts Lavendar and Anastasia. Pleiadian lineup starts this Friday through Sunday, and Lavendar will be speaking about that this evening. And remember that Mercury is retrograde until the 26th of this month. Our featured guest tonight is Savannah Arrienta, who is a practicing psychic medium and intuitive advisor with clientele from around the globe. She's a respected radio host and author of Lightworker, Understand Your Sacred Role as Healer, Guide, and Being of Light, and has studied and explored the metaphysical and paranormal realms for more than 20 years. Savannah is also the founder of Soul's Journey Media, a new thought company that brings messages of spiritual enlightenment to people all over the world. Her website is savannaharrienta.com, and that's spelled SAHVANNAARIENTA.com. At the top of the show, we'll have our Starseed News segment with Anastasia, bringing topics of interest to Starseed and sharing some emails from our listeners. We'd like to thank Chris for hosting our switchboard this evening, and we invite you to call in with questions or comments tonight, and the number to dial is 917-889-8292. Remember to press 1 on your keypad so we know you want to come on the air. If you like our show, please remember to click follow on our show page. You'll get our show notices, plus it'll help promote our show guests, and then remember to tell a few friends about us. For our new listeners, our main site is starseedhotline.com, where we have a lot of vital information for Starseed in our vault of knowledge. The entire site is coded for Starseed activation. We also have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com. And we'd like to thank Rose, Anastasia, and Sahar for their continuing great work and dedication on behalf of our Starseed forum. You can also find us on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go. And we'll get started in just a moment, but first I'd like to let you know that if you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. Our Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings and your natal astrological chart. And the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone session available with Lavendar, Anastasia, or myself. If you have a birthday coming up, you should know when your 10 hours of power will occur by getting your solar return timing. And please allow 2 weeks at least ahead of time to make sure that you do get it in time. And now I'd like to introduce my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. Good evening, ladies.
Good evening, everybody.
Well, hey, Anastasia, I know you've got some great news for us, so just go ahead and hit it.
All right. That sounds fantastic. Well, before we start tonight's news segment, I want to give a special shout-out to some of our Starseed. I want to thank Angela and Andrea, Jessica and Ashley, Ted, Catherine and Chris, Marilyn and Vania, Cindy, Margaret, Gabriella, Ethan, and M.A., and all others who wrote to me in the last couple of weeks and gave me wonderful emails with news tips, communication, and contact. I thank all of you so much. You're just great. Now, a number of Starseed wrote to me and also responded to the earlier reports that I broadcast about sensitive lightworkers, Starseed, and awakening ones to feeling that fatigue and that deep exhaustion, being out of sorts and cranky. Apparently, a lot of people out there weren't aware it wasn't only them that others were experiencing it. So any of you feeling that sort of weird energies, just hang on and hold out. It really is just a part of the transition that we're going through. A lot of people are reporting this to me. I mean, a lot of people. So I want to start tonight's news by reporting some Earth changes and things that are going on across the planet quickly. Now, today, there was a strong quake in the Gulf of Alaska. And it happened this morning. Now, it didn't generate a tsunami, but they did issue a tsunami warning. The quake struck at 10:42 this morning, and it had a magnitude of 6.4, centered 349 miles southeast of Anchorage at a depth of 34 miles. Any star seed up there in that neck of the woods that felt that, I'd appreciate hearing from you. And also, in my area of the country, there was a roaring earthquake. It occurred in Madison County, Kentucky, and it happened on Sunday, the 11th of November. It was a 4.3 magnitude earthquake. Actually, I'm sorry, it happened on Saturday, by the way. It was a 4.3 magnitude earthquake, according to the USGS, and it was epicentered about 8 miles west of Whitesburg. And despite this earthquake's relatively small intensity, interestingly enough, this was a quake that was listed by the USGS as a significant event. So they're eyeing that, apparently, perhaps, for fault activity along up and down that fault line. And on Sunday the 11th, just a couple days ago, there was a strong earthquake that collapsed a bridge and damaged ancient Buddhist pagodas in northern Myanmar, and mines collapsed from the magnitude 6.8 quake. Now, Myanmar's been having an awful lot of earthquakes. And also, a week and a half ago or so, there was a 2-point magnitude quake that shook New Jersey, as if they don't have enough problems from the Sandy storm. It was centered 2 miles south-southeast of Ringwood, New Jersey. It wasn't far from the border with New York, and it was a shallow depth of 3.1 miles. Also, everybody, there was an earthquake in Maine. Now, we know I know Starseed up in Maine, and I'd like to hear from you if you felt it. The epicenter was pinpointed 4 miles west-southwest of Hollis Center, Maine, and again, another shallow one at a depth of 4.2 miles. Now, this quake was felt as far away as Boston and Albany, New York, and even Waterbury, Connecticut, according to the USGS. So a lot of interesting ground movement all across the planet and in some unusual places, highly unusual places.
Right.
Uh-huh. Well, we've had an interesting report here about an asteroid. You know, I've been talking about this asteroid that's due to come by in February of this year, but they have just discovered a 5.4-kilometer diameter asteroid called 4179 Tutatis that's supposed to fly by the Earth at just 0.046 astronomical units, and it's supposed to fly by on the 29th of December. Now, that's a very close approach because they say, and I don't calculate this, I just take their word for it, that it's about 18 times the distance to the moon, and they consider that to be a potentially hazardous object. Now, a potentially hazardous object is an asteroid or comet with an orbit such that it has the potential to make close approaches to the Earth, and it has a size large enough to cause significant damage if there was an impact. Now, overall, the chance of a potentially hazardous event due to these objects is only about once in 300 years. Which takes me to the incredible, absolutely amazing number of fireball sightings that are continuing. And I guess I'll quit reporting about this when it quits happening. But it's just going on all over the country. You know, we missed last week because of the election for a live show and news, so I'm going to track back to the 5th of November here. But there were two separate fireballs that exploded over the northeastern U.S. on the 5th of November, according to lunarmeteoritehuntersblogspot.com. And they were in over Massachusetts, again, on that same day, and they claimed that it was bright white and had a large tail, that it was brighter than Venus. And there was also a green fireball over Ontario, Canada, on the 8th of November. And the sighting reports on that one claimed that it was a large, white, bright ball falling and faded out to the and the faded out moon did not obscure it. It had what looked like a tail, and it was very, very big. And by the way, I want to say here that about that same time, on the 5th of November, I too saw a meteor in the sky in my neck of the woods. It was a tremendous flash of light that illuminated the outside and the inside, the interior of my home, and it happened twice, about 2 seconds apart. It was absolutely blindingly light.
Oh, my gosh.
There was a very strange sound that followed that incident. It's very hard to describe. It wasn't a boom, but it was a very odd sound. So having said that, I want to say that there was also a large fireball seen from Florida to North Carolina on the 8th of November, and the initial sighting reports were from Kissimmee, Florida, Asheville, North Carolina, and Maiden, North Carolina, and the reports say that it was either light green or bright white, moving very fast and with a long fire tail. And even in Spring Hill, Florida, this was seen. And people said this in Spring Hill, Florida, said that it was as bright as the moon. There was also, on the 8th of November, a bright green glowing fireball that was seen all the way from Colorado to Arizona and New Mexico. And this was seen in Fort Collins, Clovis, and I guess Fort Collins and Clovis. Now, one of the reports stated that this was very, very, very bright, like a cutting torch. And you know, if I had thought about that, that's probably the words I would have used to describe what I saw myself, except that it filled the entire sky. So that was a very bright incident over Colorado, Arizona, and New Mexico. I just can't believe some of our starseed aren't seeing these. Y'all just need to write to me and let me know when you see this. And last about the fireballs, I want to say that there was also one in Calgary in Canada on the 5th of November. So that covers a wide area of the Northern Hemisphere. All right, well, here's a really fun story. And this is comes from Iceland, the Iceland Review Online. And it's titled, A Bike Path is Built to Avoid an Elf Home. And the story goes like this.
Wait a minute, did you say elf?
Yes, ELF. Uh-huh. we're not talking frequency here. We're talking little people. Excuse me. The article says that construction of a new walking and cycling path along a path, in West Iceland will be made to avoid a large boulder believed to be the home to elves. This cleft boulder is located in the suburb Grafarholt. Okay, sorry, I can't say that, but the stone, which was estimated to weigh 50 tons, was moved some years back, but it was split in two during its relocation. And many accidents are said by the people to have occurred because of the move and the splitting of the stone. Yeah, the events sparked stories of the original being inhabited by elves, the original stone, being a home for elves. And in 1983, the boulder was included in the National Museum of Iceland's Ancient Remains. Now, given that that area is now under preservation, they applied for permission to widen the road so that the boulder would not be disturbed. They figured that this was an agreement that they have made with the elves. The project is expected to cost, I think, about 2 billion Icelandic dollars or kronan, whatever they're called, which amounts to about 17 million U.S. dollars. So this is the Icelanders' way of honoring the elves. I thought that was a cute story.
Well, that's good. I'm waiting for you to talk about reindeer, too.
Well, you know, isn't it wonderful that there are actually societies that openly acknowledge these mystical things? If we did that here in the United States, people would just, you know, it wouldn't go anywhere. But,
right. You
know, we live here and we think that maybe the rest of the world thinks like we do, but not the case. And many countries are far more open and actually more connected to Mother Nature than we are. So not as starseed, but I mean as a society at large. All right, our last story of tonight is from Denver, and this comes from Fox 31 News in Denver. And they say it's a mile-high mystery in the skies over Denver. Strange objects caught on camera flying over the city, and there's nobody who can explain it. They say they learned about these sightings when a metro area man who doesn't want to be identified turned in his home video. He captured the images on his digital camera from a hilltop in the Federal Heights area of Denver, looking downtown southward. The man said, "These flying objects appear around noon or 1 p.m. at least a couple of times a week. The strangest part is that they're flying too fast to see with the naked eye, but when we slowed down the video, several UFOs appear." Now, there was an aviation expert who examined this film. His name is Steve Cowell. He's a former commercial pilot instructor and FAA accident prevention counselor. And he said He thought there would be a logical explanation until he looked at the video. He says, it's not an airplane, it's not a helicopter, and those aren't birds. He said, I just can't identify it. He said that it fits the definition of an unidentified flying object. Now, the FAA tracks all air traffic in Colorado, of course, and across the country, as you know, and the FAA sent this Fox News team a statement that says, we've checked with air traffic control, and no one has had any reports of the activity you described, nor have we had any of our employees who have observed anything of this nature visually or on their radar displays. Now, the man who brought the video to Fox News' attention believes that the UFOs are launching and landing near 56th Avenue and Clay Street in Denver. So that's what his feelings are. And so we have one more story that I want to finish tonight. This is just a hoot. It's really a hoot. It comes from The Telegraph, which is a British publication, and the headline reads, BBC banned astronomers from searching for alien life on a newly discovered planet. And here's the text of the article. It says that Brian Cox and his stargazing live crew were banned from searching for life on a newly discovered planet because BBC bosses feared that aliens may breach editorial guidelines. Professor Cox, who hosts the show with comedian Dara O'Brien, said he had hoped to point the Jodrell Bank telescope at the planet Threapleton, Holmes B, after it was discovered live on air last year, and he wanted to listen for signs of life. But he claimed he was prevented from doing so because the corporation was concerned that a discovery of aliens could violate BBC regulations. Speaking on the BBC Radio 6 Music Breakfast Show on Wednesday, Professor Cox said, the BBC actually said, you can't do that. We need to go through the regulations and health and safety and everything in case we discover a signal from an alien civilization. I said, meaning Mr. Cox, I said, you mean we would discover the first hint that there is another intelligent life in the universe beyond Earth, live on air, and you're worried about the health and safety of it? He said, it was incredible. They really do have guidelines, and they expect you to comply. The incident was not the only time that producers have failed to appreciate the significance of the discovery of alien life, Professor Cox said. The stargazing live team had considered filming a feature on Mars where he would ask the audience to help search for signs of geological activity which could point to past or current life on the planet. Someone from the BBC said to me, he said, would there have to be a prize if someone discovered it? And I said to them, what do you mean? You're going to say to someone, you discovered the first evidence for alien life beyond Earth, and here is a prize as well? Do you think that's going to make it better? So the professor obviously thinks the BBC has entered into the realm of ludicrous, and I would have to agree with that. The BBC spokesman had this to say. He said, in making the series, there were many lighthearted conversations, one of which was about how different organizations might react to the discovery of alien life. So, Starseed, it looks like we have a ways to go with mass consciousness, but we're working on it. I want to thank everybody for being with us tonight. I'm looking forward to the show, and it's a pleasure to bring all of you the news. Keep those emails coming. I love to hear from all of you. Thanks. We'll talk again next week.
Well, thank you so much, Anastasia, for the Starseed news this week. And now we are going to turn it over to Lavendar to just tell us a little bit about this upcoming Pleiadian lineup.
Yes, Pleiadian lineup, of course, happens every May and every November. And so it actually starts around November 15th through the 20th. The main days, though, are the 17th, 18th, and 19th. But I've noticed that the energies do come in a little bit early. And that's when the sun arises and sets with the Pleiades during this time. And because of the activities that are happening inside the Earth and with starseed on the planet and the evolutionary changes that we're having at this time, this next Pleiadian lineup is going to be of great significance because of the tweaking, I say tweaking, because that's the only word I can think of when they come in, they're going to take this huge ray of energy back and forth across different towns and areas where there's a lot of starseed, like in Santa Fe, Rio Dosa, Las Vegas, up in Oregon and Washington, these little pockets where a lot of starseed have gathered. The ray's going to go back and forth, and what it does, it pops the remaining DNA crystals that are in the Pleiadian bloodlines that are on the planet. And even though that some of the bloodlines have crossed over with other species, the Pleiadian DNA will rise up and it will be strongly activated during these times. So the other thing that I'd like to mention is it's getting everyone ready for the thing that will be happening in December, on December 20th and 21st. And this has to do with not only raising the consciousness, but it has to do with the mathematical calibrations of the cells in the body, which has to do with, well, they say that we only use 10% of our brain capacity. But after December, it looks like there'll be a lot of people on the planet that'll be walking around with 15 or 20% brain capacity. And it's really targeted for the starseeds because they carry the genius of evolution. So what do you think of that, Ariel?
Well, I think that it's important for everyone to stay centered and balanced, because when energies like this hit, it can be disruptive to your normal everyday third dimensional routine. So just make sure you stay balanced and stay steady. Pay attention to your dreams. Pay attention to events that may have significance later, such as doors opening or doors closing. It's really going to be a shifting, and even though it may not be entirely enjoyable while it's happening, there could be some physical sensations that some people might need just to go lie down for a while, but it's always for the benefit of starseed. So would you concur with that?
Yes, I would. And I think Richard called and told you his little incident that happened the other day. He came into the bedroom and looked, and I wasn't there. So he goes out to the garage. He goes outside. He sees, the cars in the driveway, and he's hollering my name, and I'm nowhere to be found. And then in a little bit, I answered him, and he said, "Where were you?" And I said, "Well, I'm in bed." And he comes in there, and he goes, "No, you weren't." So it looks like that they're pulling that old disappearing act on me already.
Well, considering the timing and with Pleiadian lineup, and then December 21st, and then right after that is the Teton meetings. There'd be a lot of moving and shaking going on.
Yeah. True. I did pull one thing out of the vault, if you want me to go ahead and read it.
Oh, yeah.
It's something that I wrote. I don't have a date on it, but it must be about probably maybe 7 or 8 years ago. The transformation process here in Alto Rio Dosa, New Mexico, has brought me to a whole new window of observation. The theme seems to be consistent with my chapter called Energy Does Not Lie, Only People Do. It appears to me that most people are not connected to how energy actually manifests. They've been so programmed through the pacification program of religion, dogma, and bloodlines that to actually experience someone who is conscious and aware at the levels of tracking energy sometimes is a rarity. Another thought, while it is on my mind, is that after reviewing these past 20 years concerning galactic training, here is what it boils down to. Galactic training is really designed for those for global group mind consideration. What I mean by consideration is that even after the training, then a series of exercises will be conducted. The participant is holding galactic knowingness concerning the evolutionary programs that match the timelines for either conscious or in agreement with laws of cause and effect that are permitted to play in the third dimension. Many are called, but few are chosen. That applies to galactic training as well. The reason for this is that many will be born with and even later be trained with galactic codes, but the real kicker is to be able to hold the codes, be diligent enough to know when to use the codes and when to keep them safe from other pacification programs. There are certain alliances from off-planet placements that have been infiltrating planet Earth for a long time with this kind of knowingness. At least to my knowledge, there are over 33 different species that actually have long and short-term exercises running simultaneously with bloodlines all over the planet. All these exercises have one thing in common, and that is who can take the power, hold it, run with it, manifest it to a higher order without committing a violation of cosmic or earth law. Those monitoring these experiments are within them the ability to empower or cancel an experiment. It all depends on the kind of experiment that is being conducted and how much influence and power the end results show how to affect a large group of people or in planetary work in the balance of ecosystems of the planet. This is hard to describe sometimes as they are constantly changing and some species feel the need to override other species programs, and this makes for chaos and war on the planet. Just think for a minute about how wars are being fought over which god and religion is right or wrong. This is an atrocity, and there have been many meetings lately among several species to alleviate this problem. The meetings that were conducted recently inside the Grand Tetons during the July 1 through 10th mostly were about how to end the interference of experimental programs so they could run their course. The subject of free will was once again debated for many days and was decided that certain avenues should be taken to reinstill the free will doctrine so that it can be established back on the planet. There has been so much distortion of what free will actually means that several species had to review the first doctrine placed on the planet concerning the beginning experiments concerning free will. Personal accountability became a tracking code, as those that have open channels or have the codes of remembrance and then have the responsibility to align with others who can assimilate and create action based on cosmic codes. Now for those carrying the codes, let us review what those codes reveal. First, let's look at the bloodlines. Because of intermarrying and crossing with other bloodlines, several codes have been distorted. This was expected to happen and been closely monitored. Pure bloodlines are getting extinct, and only a very few have the original codes set forth. Those operating in the third dimension with partial codes are the dangerous ones. Having only a blimp of information and no follow-through instructions has created a place of mass disinformation. Consider that these defect codes, when placed with other defect codes, run by pacification programs with a touch of mind control programs, can be simply be the place where masses of people on the planet choose to exit. The self-destruct code in some will activate, while in others will seem to create a whole new life of their own. When your blood is running you and the spirit can't get through, it's when the deep sorrow activates and causes those with galactic programs to just totally misfire. This is happening with much regularity now on the planet, and for some, it is their exit off the planet. Walk-ins, yes, they have their part to play, and those too, or should the term A, should be a planet with time release, they're planted, implanted with time-released crystal codes. When these become activated, then a series of choices ensues, and for some, there are no choices, as they are made in advance and simply run their course. There are those with these implants that have been disconnected for periods of time and then reconnected at a later date. Some are taken out altogether and are allowed their bloodline program to take over. When one ceases to function, then another one takes over. Reality in the third dimension have different consequences when played out, and when viewed from other realities, doesn't read the same as in 3D. This one is very hard to explain, as it fits into the same category as trying to describe colors from another dimension. Sometimes you just can't. this one reason, that is one reason that those tracking energies appear to experience the term, energy does not lie, only people do. It is true. Perception is reality for whom to and for how long. Now back to free will. Some have within them the codes of free will, but it's hard to stay activated when so much mind control is beaming to the masses. One can take just so much bombardment without being affected. The trick is to realize the moment of infiltration and to constantly jump in frequency when the lock cannot happen. This is a trained, conscious choice and demands a lot of energy to maintain, and for some, this is a burnout. Once you have maintained the discipline of remaining free of mind control, then the walk-in has a stronger chance of maintaining the codes that were given. One of the topics in this year's Teton meetings was that codes are being hijacked, meaning that some walk-ins have the ability to hook up to other codes and simply mimic them long enough to set loose other walk-ins on a false mission. For some women that have been trained in the ancient arts of knowing, can be a problem as they carry some of these codes in their womb space, and others will connect there and simply run off with the codes. It is hard to trace because Earth explanation takes hold and it looks like some romantic sexual response. There is a reason for some women to experience long bouts of celibacy. The pact made with knowingness is the sacred spiral of holding the codes intact. This isn't about being pure or chaste. This is about being smart and aligned to holding codes that are only to be released in sacred space and sacred time with sacred accountability. There are those walk-ins on the planet with only one mission, and that is to steal the codes from the women holding them in their womb space. The trouble here is identifying this code-stealing time bandits and holding steady until their programs get tired and they look for other prey. One cannot get distracted because of some familiar longing or remembering past life activity, because so many do get caught there. The free will choice now for many is to acknowledge and move on, as moving on will, at least, give one the chance to regroup and evaluate their actions. I really don't have a date on that, but that is as true today as it was the day I wrote it.
Well, as is everything you've written, but that's one of my favorite quotes from you. Energy does not lie, only people do.
Right.
So track the energy.
So track the energy.
Right. So, we have, our guest is with us on the switchboard, Lavendar, unless you have anything else to add to that, we can introduce her.
Okay, that's fine. I'm ready.
Okay, great. Well, it is our pleasure to introduce to you Savannah Orienta. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you very much.
Well, we're just so glad to have you here. Lavendar is going to take the lead and talk about your book to start with.
Yes, Savannah, I want you to know that I've had your book by my desk for about 3 months, and so I look at it, and eventually I turn it over, and I look at your pretty picture with your beautiful red hair, and I just want you to know that you've been sitting with me for some time.
I know. We've been trying to coordinate, and I'm so glad to finally be here. So thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being on the planet and for writing such a wonderful book, this book called Lightworker, Understand Your Sacred Role as Healer, Guide, and Being of Light. This is really a good manual for those that are waking up and really want to know how to manifest their true starseed nature. You have really written it very, very well. You did send me a list of questions, but before we start on those questions, I'd kind of like to know a little bit about you personally and how you became aware of who you are on the planet and what kind of life did you live when you were growing up.
Sure. Well, as I talk about in the book, my grandmother was what they called a mystic, and my mother was a psychic. So I was raised in a family of very intuitive and sensitive women. This whole idea of another world, or that there is more than we could just see with our eye, was very common. And it wasn't anything out of the ordinary in my home. So as I grew, I kind of transformed more into, I was a psychic and now more of an intuitive or spiritual counselor. And when I started to work with light workers, I began to realize the suffering that they went through in order to actually be here and contribute to the planet. So I started to address that in my work and energetically kind of help them clear all that, the harsh energies of the earth plane, and really kind of transition into mastery of their roles. So this started when I was born with my grandmother teaching me this, and all this work that they did with me up to this point has led me and trained me to do what I'm doing today. So this is really a family thing. It's nothing unique to my family. I was lucky enough to be raised with this in the environment.
Well, that's wonderful, because, you know, a lot of people don't have the support that you've had with your grandmother and with your mother. But it looks like to me, just talking to you, that you probably designed your birth to come through the bloodline so that you would be able to hold this energy and to do the work on the planet. So I applaud you for coming to the planet and deciding to do this work. That's great.
Thank you so much, and I totally agree with that. I think that I plan to be with these women, and, you know, like I said, the work has transformed itself over the years as humanity and the earth is evolving. My work and my life has changed. And so I did plan to be here, and I'm very grateful to be here doing the work that I'm doing today.
Let's start out by just giving the definition of what is a light worker?
The best way I could explain it is a light worker is a highly evolved spirit, a spirit which has worked very hard throughout many, many incarnations to expand their light energy, and is here to help heal the planet through unconditional love and working mostly through the heart chakra. So light workers are not that they're more superior than others, they're just a little bit more evolved and have been coming to the planet in heavier waves, I believe, within the last 100 years. I think light workers have come throughout history, but I think we've been more needed over the last 100 years as the energy of the earth plane has become very overcome with darkness.
Yes, I agree with that. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So you do a lot of work with relationships, and I noticed that in your book that you have something called soul contracts and the nature of relationships, and how that past life connections seem to come to you in your counseling sessions. And there's something in here that's called ghost of relationships past. Can you give us a little discussion about that, and also releasing your ghost?
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, being a light worker and also a very sensitive and empathic person that the light workers are, they tend to attract wounded partners or tend to attract people that are in need of healing. It's just kind of it's a natural match, but it actually can become a disastrous situation when the light worker becomes depleted. So that's why it's very important to shield yourself and not allow for others to deplete your light energy. You have to keep that balance. So that chapter is really addressing the light workers who get in these relationships that are not balanced, that are not energetically equitable, so to speak, and how to balance that out and how to not become depleted. Unfortunately, as light workers, we are here to heal, and we seek out to heal constantly. But we need to know, you know, when we're being depleted and when to draw that line, because then we're not able to do our work when we're depleted. So that chapter really addresses people that are attracting wounded partners and how not to bring in people who are going to deplete you. And also, it also addresses karma and soul contracts and coming into this lifetime with perhaps a contract with another person that you need to fulfill, and how to know when you've fulfilled your contract and to release the relationship and go forward into something else. Because a lot of times people have a problem releasing relationships and not understanding that they've fulfilled their contract.
Do you ever have a consulting work with, say, a couple that come to you wanting to work on their relationships? Do you do counseling for couples?
I have. I have. If a couple will come to me, I will more than, happily work with them, and I have in the past. And a lot of times we do some past life regression, and we go back and we try to figure out what the nature of their relationship has been over in the several incarnations that they've been together. In fact, in the book, I wrote a story about my husband and our past life together. So it's very helpful to know your history and where you've been and where you've been with your partner, to know where you're going and what your future is going to be like.
I noticed that you have mentioned in here beautiful but broken spirit, and you talk about some very famous people like Abraham Lincoln and Vincent van Gogh and Virginia Woolf and Princess Diana. Just pick one of those and talk to us a little bit about what you found out.
Well, all those were light workers that have come to Earth to help heal. And as you see that they've had tragic lives, many of them have taken their own lives. Many of them have left this earth plane, kind of ripped out in a tragic, dramatic way. And even Princess Diana, she gave so much, and she spread so much light energy in all her work with AIDS victims or different charities that she did. Yet she never was happy. She always suffered. She suffered depression, eating disorders. She was in a dysfunctional relationship, like we just spoke about. And I think that she always felt displaced. She felt as if she was in the wrong shell. She was even quoted as saying she knew that she was different from the rest. But yet she wasn't able to find her focal point. And that's what happens to many of these beautiful souls that come into the earth to bring us beauty or bring us light energy. They kind of get lost in it all, and they don't understand their mission, and they're not able to find that focal point in their own lives where they are finding their own happiness. And it's actually very unfortunate, and it's very unnecessary. And that's a big part of the book, Light Worker, is to help those who are suffering because of sensitivities or because of they're absorbing energies or negative or dark energies and not knowing how to process them. So the book really helps to explain all that and helps take the light worker through the process of dealing with their gifts, which can sometimes be very hard to handle.
Right. Mm-hmm. As I'm thumbing through your book, I'm at on page 138 where you talk about mysterious mountains and something called Guardians at the Gate. Can you relay that story to our audience?
Yes. Well, I grew up in the shadow of the Ramapo Mountains, and I know that during the news section of your show, news segment, you spoke about an earthquake in Ringwood, and that's exactly where it is. The Ramapo Mountains is part of the Appalachian Trail, and it's very, very mysterious, very mystical. So we just did experience the earthquake last week or the week before. But my grandfather used to love to walk the trails of those mountains, and he loved the energies, and he loved just to be there and absorb the, high frequency that's there when you walk into these mountains. A lot of Native American history up there, a lot of really just old energy. So he went up there once with my brother and my uncle, and they were walking the trails, and there is an abandoned castle there. And out of the castle came a pack of dogs, wild dogs. And, he held the boys back, and he said, all right, just let's not go there. And then the dogs went away, and they proceeded to walk, and then the dogs came out, and they attacked. And they knocked the boys down to the ground, my brother and my uncle, who were about 12 or 13 at the time. And my grandfather went to tear the dogs off them, and the dogs took off. And he said to the boys, "Are you okay?" And they said, "Yeah, they had no teeth." So, we really felt that was kind of a warning not to enter into that area. that the dogs had no teeth, and you know, they did warn the boys and my grandfather not to walk into that sacred area at the time, and it was really kind of, you know, a spooky situation, and they didn't go to the castle that day.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, there's
That sounds like a Native American energies, don't you
absolutely.
Think, Lavendar?
Yes, well, I think that was a portal to another dimension, don't you?
I absolutely believe that, and there is a vortex up there in that area as well. So it's very, you know, it's a very mystical area, and again, I believe that I was brought there and raised there for a reason and on purpose, as you said. The Ramapo Mountains are just a very mystical place. They are the home of the Ramapo Mountain people. There's a society up there that is kind of isolated. I don't know if you've ever read about them. They're documented in many books, and they're descendants of runaway slaves and soldiers from the Revolutionary War. And they're still up there to this day. They really have not come out and integrated into society.
Wow. No, I had not heard about this. This is fascinating.
Yes, the Ramapo Mountain people, sometimes they're called Jackson's Whites, which I don't really think they prefer to be called that, but you know, if you Google it or you Google the Ramapo Mountain people, you will read a lot about their history, which is very fascinating.
Yeah. What is the story about April that you write about, this little girl in the mountains?
Well, April was a Ramapo Mountain person. She belonged to that kind of secret society up there. And there was a time, and they've started since about the 1980s, to allow the kids to come out and go to school and you know, kind of mix with the other children. And I made friends with April, and we went up there, and there was a fire in the 70s up there because the conditions were shacks. They were up in they're up in the mine area. They're old iron mines up there. And there was a fire in the 70s where a few children were killed. And one of them were her cousins. A few of them were her cousins. And one of them we contacted when I was up there on a visit. He came to the window and he asked for her. And when she came back out of the kitchen, I told her, you know, there was a little boy here. And she said, who? And I explained, and she said, no, he died in a fire. And, she, you know, it turned out that these children were kind of trapped there. And we did a releasement ceremony, and we released them up, you know, into the, we set a fire, and we released the children, the spirit of the children.
Wow. That's an incredible story.
It is. That story is in the book. There's a lot of stories in the book.
How about the story talking about your grandmother Grace that put onions in her socks to rid evil spirits and fevers? That one.
She did. My grandmother was from Sicily, and they back in that time they called her a mystic, and she had all these kind of spells and potions where she would, if we got sick, she would. Like I said in the book, she would cut up onions and put them in our socks or, you know, all these different things. If you had headaches, she would put a bowl of oil and water on your head and she would speak in tongues. I'm not sure what she was saying. And she would, you know, kind of conjure up the spirits that were giving you headaches and ask them to leave. So she was very unique, I guess, and I learned a lot from her.
I love this phrase. My grandmother Grace was a one-woman demon chaser who made sure that that nothing evil came close to herself or her family. I love that. A demon chaser. I love it.
She was. She was. So
well, let me ask you about animals. And are you able to communicate with animals?
I do, and I do consider myself an animal communicator, and if a client comes to me with issues with their pet, I will help them and kind of pinpoint what's going on. And I, as a light worker, and I think all light workers have a very strong connection to animals and, you know, all forms of life. So it kind of comes naturally.
Well, that's great. Do all you know, horses and dogs and cats and birds, everything?
Yes, and mostly dogs and cats. And I do work a lot with rescued animals, dogs and cats. In fact, I have 5 of them in my home right now. So if you ever hear any barking in the background, that's what it is.
Okay.
But it's mostly dogs and cats. And I do get puppies from rescue associations, and I keep them until they're placed. And a lot of times when I get the puppies, they're traumatized energetically, and I do some healing on them and try to channel out some of that negative wounded energy that they've experienced from the shelter or being abandoned or abused, whatever the situation may be.
Tell us a little bit about what you think makes up our extrasensory perceptions.
I try to break it down in the book into something that's easily understood for people, because I believe that the word psychic is kind of intimidating, maybe, or it's definitely misunderstood. And the average person, when they hear the word, they think, well, that can't be me. But your psychic abilities, I wrote in the book, and I believe, are made up of very natural abilities that we all have, and it's just a matter of the intensity of these abilities. And I name them in the book as sensitivity. How sensitive are you? How aware are you of your 5 senses, your intuition, how much you follow that little voice inside, your awareness, how aware are you of your surroundings and what's going on around you, and empathy, and how you relate to others, and how you're able to kind of pick up or absorb the emotions or the feelings of others. So I believe that those are the components of your psychic abilities. And a lot of people are more sensitive than they are intuitive. Some are more aware than they are empathic. So you need to find out your individual strengths and work on those in order to develop your psychic abilities. I just tried to take the mystical out of the word psychic and make it more where people can understand that we all have these abilities. We all have some level of sensitivity. We all have some level of intuition. So how do we work on it? How do we expand those levels? And that's what makes up your psychic abilities.
Don't you think just setting your intentions really gives you a place to start, setting your intentions of what you want to do and how you want to conduct your life?
Oh, absolutely. Intention is 99.9% of that. You know, if you are able to set your intentions at a place where you are able to help others and you're able to have the greatest good of all in your intentions, you really can do anything. So it's very important, as you're saying, to set your intentions and know where you're going and what you're going to do with these abilities or these gifts that we are all born with.
So have you had a close encounter of the third kind? Have you been taken aboard ship? Have you experienced any kind of extraterrestrial activity in your life?
Well, you know, I have not personally, but I do write about it in the book. Again, like I said, being born in this and raised in this area, there was a well-documented and famous UFO sighting in the town that I grew up in. And you probably have heard of the Wanacue Reservoir UFO sighting. It was in, I believe, 1969, and it's very well documented. And I do write about that book in the book, Close Encounters of the Second Kind, where the ship came down and burned a hole through the ice, because it was in January, and the reservoir, the Wanacue Reservoir, was covered in ice. And everyone saw it. They saw it actually for miles. But the police were there. The town people were there. They all witnessed this unidentified flying object come down and burn a hole right through the ice of the reservoir.
Wow.
So that
is like that. You have really led a very interesting life, and I think that your book is very fascinating, and it's called Lightworker, Understand Your Sacred Role as a Healer, Guide, and Being of Light. Give us your website again.
Sure, it would be Savannah Arienta. That's SavannahArienta.com.
Okay, great. So, Ariel, I'm going to turn it back to you and to Anastasia, if she's still on. So you may want to ask her some questions, and then we can open up the switchboard and ask our callers to call in.
Okay. Well, Anastasia actually had some readings this evening, so he had to depart. But, Savannah, I wanted to ask you what your advice would be for people who are very or sensitive or empathic or pick up energies or have, you know, various psychic abilities. How do you have a program of establishing your boundaries and keeping yourself protected?
Well, a lot of that is in the book. Yes, I do give advice on that, because sometimes as a light worker or being so sensitive, it can be really torturous. It's almost like you're battling your spiritual self, which is real high frequency, and then your human self, which is very kind of dense and low frequency. So it can be like, it's almost as if you're trapped in this you know, low level kind of just shell. So it can be very hard, and a lot of light workers suffer, as I talked about in the book, such as the artists or the musicians that have tried to spread love and peace throughout the world and yet suffered depression or mental illness. So a lot of that can be avoided if we understand the true nature of who we are and where we came from. And I do explain a lot of that in the book, and also how to shield yourself, how to set boundaries, as you said, and just how to manage these gifts from Source that, you know, they are gifts, but they can also be hindrances if we don't know what they are, how to live with them. So I have a second book that's going to be out probably within a month, and that kind of takes things also to the next level of with practices. The first book, Lightworker, the one we're discussing now, helps you to identify who you are, where you came from, and kind of how to manage that. And then the second book, which is about to be released, I'm very, very excited about it, will show you, you know, bring you to the next level and give you a roadmap to your higher self and how to connect with your higher self and how to achieve mastery of your lightworker role.
Well, excellent. That was my next question, because I thought you had a second book coming out.
Yes, it should be out within a month. It's called The Lightworker Source.
Okay, and that I'm sure will be announced on your website when it's released.
Yes. Yeah, okay. You can pre-order it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, or also you can go to the publisher, newpagebooks.com, and you can, you know, see when it's going to be released. The due date to release is December 26th.
Excellent.
It is available on pre-order. So I'm very excited about it. And it came out beautifully. And just I'm thrilled to be able to release it and to help take the light workers and the sensitives into the next step to achieving mastery of their role.
Yeah, well, you know, it does, it translates, because as I was listening to you talk, I'm remembering a few years ago, I made the the bad decision to go to the mall during, you know, Christmas shopping season.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I did nothing to shield myself. I was just going to the mall, and I was like a dry sponge, just soaking up all the stress that people have, you know, and a lot of, it seems like people, Christmas either makes them really happy or really, really depressed. And, man, I came home, I was like stew of other people's emotions.
And lucky that you're aware of what's happening, and think of the person that is sensitive, like yourself, and experiences this and has no idea why they're feeling the way that they're feeling. Can be very traumatic for someone to go through that. But that's what the book helps with, exactly what you're saying, crowds or negative environments, we have to learn to shield and protect ourselves, because if you come home and you feel like you're depleted or you're depressed, you're not able to complete and move forward on your healing mission, the reason why you're here. So it kind of starts to create a vicious cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important to have this information and know how to handle situations, as which may be as simple as going to the mall, which you would think would be a simple thing.
Right, right. And but when I came home, like I said, I was aware that the depression and the grief and all that sorrow that I was feeling, I was like, there is absolutely no reason, I'm happy with my life, and there's no reason for me to be feeling this way. So you start looking for other explanations, and a great thing that Lavendar taught me is about getting into the shower or the bathtub with a box of salt.
Absolutely.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because, I call it energy cooties.
Yeah.
So you go out and you get energy cooties on you, and you come home and you just feel kind of funky, get in the shower or the bath with some salt and just rub it all over you or put it in the water, and that really can set you back to your normal frequency and get rid of everyone else's stuff that,
yes.
you didn't sign up for their stuff.
Water is a very powerful tool for a light worker. It's very very cleansing. I mean, even if you just look at water and you can see it flows freely, it cleanses. That's exactly what you need to do when you're absorbing these type of harsh energies that light workers are so sensitive to. So that was the right thing to do. We talk about that in the books as well, especially the second book about water and baths and grounding. It's also very grounding. Water is, will help bring you back here, because at times, light workers they're connected to the higher realms. They're connected to the lighter realms, but yet we're living here on Earth. So we kind of get lost in the middle somewhere. And water is very grounding as well.
Yeah, it's good. And you also, do you have techniques for, clearing energy in your home or in your space?
Absolutely, because these energies are contained within everything. So you want to remove or clear all the old or stale or outdated energies in your home that may be inside items or, these items or clutter, they're harboring energies. And you're affected by them, especially if you have a strong sense of empathy. If you're an empath, you're much more affected by energies that are around you and outside of you than what is going on inside. Because empaths kind of want to relate to what's going on around them more so than inside. So you really want to clear that space in your home or your work environment, because those energies that are inside these items or clutter, they'll penetrate your own energy, and they'll kind of make you feel weighed down and heavy. So that's very important as well.
So it's almost a signal, if you feel that way, that you've got some cleaning to do.
Absolutely. If you feel heavy and weighed down, look around you. Look at your home. Look at your closets. Look at the way your home is set up. Do you have items that you've kept since grammar school? Some people don't want to let go of these energies that are in these items. I mean, that's also something we have to deal with, is letting go and releasing. If you have things from childhood or years ago, you may want to donate them or give them to someone who could use them. But it's time to, obviously, if you're feeling weighed down, it's time to start recycling these old energies and giving them to someone else and clearing your own space.
I think it's very cathartic, just getting rid of clutter.
It
always makes you feel better.
And if you keep in mind that that energy is contained within everything in the universe. So if you see something that you have that's maybe from a past relationship that was painful, maybe it's time to release that, and that with that, release the items as well.
Yeah, well, that's just really good, really good practices, and it's kind of the basis. I mean, not quite, but similar, made me think about feng shui, which helps you focus on the up spiral, and you know, but it's really. There's no magic in as far as I'm concerned in feng shui. It is the focusing of your intent. So if you build a shrine to prosperity, every time you look at it, you're reinforcing it with your own intent. It's the magic is in you, not in this.
Absolutely.
You know, this
just,
piece.
Right. If you keep in mind that whatever we focus on becomes larger, it becomes a bigger part of your existence. I always
Absolutely.
Tell my clients, you know, if you look at a painting and you focus on one area of it, the background kind of fades off and you don't even see it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to place your focus on what's positive and on what is progressive, not stagnant. So you're very correct. Where you place your focus is what becomes large and magnified in your life. And you want the good things to be large and magnified.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So,
yes.
You know, and Lavendar's formula, as well as others that I have learned from, is that you don't have to do it 100%, but if you can just do 55, that's enough for the critical mass to shift that energy. So
exactly.
You know, you just get it 55% of the time. Keep your focus on things that make you feel good.
Right, and you know what? Something that I stress to my clients and talk about in the books is that it can't be 100% of the time because we are human. We're here on Earth. We're experiencing dark energies. I want to stress to everyone not to be afraid of dark energy because without the dark energy, we could not have light energy. So it has to be. So, you know, it's okay to sometimes feel dark or sometimes to feel not so positive. It's normal. But you have to learn how to process these dark energies and not become mired in them. If you're able to process them, work your way out of that negativity or darkness, you come out healed and you come out in a better place. So she's absolutely right. It doesn't have to be 100% of the time. In fact, it wouldn't be, we wouldn't learn very much if all we did 100% of the time was be in the light and be happy. We need the darkness to help us to learn and progress.
Exactly. It's the contrast that shows us where we need to focus. And certainly, as far as not being afraid of the dark, if you look at it, it's like, if you're going to wash your car and get all that dirt off, you're going to have to expect to get your hands dirty. But think about how good you'll feel when you can step back and see a bright, shiny new car, or, you know, cleaning your house or whatever other analogy. You know,
exactly.
when you go in to clean things up, don't be afraid of the dirt, because you're stronger than dirt.
Absolutely, and you're gonna wash it away eventually. So you're
right.
You're so right. And I always believe that our source creator is made up of all things, and that includes light and dark energy. You know, there's a balance there. So all kinds of energies, every hue from dark to light and anywhere in between, are all a part of our source creator, and they're all integrated into our own spirituality. So the light worker that's able to embrace and accept every part of themselves, every hue of their energy, so to speak, is the one that is able to move forward and learn and progress the most.
Well, there's a completion there.
Absolutely.
There's a completion there. You can't skip English and still graduate.
Right.
You know?
You're right. You're right. So the darkness is necessary. As long as we know how to process it, like you said, wash it away, same analogy, and work our way through it, we come out progressed. We come out with spiritual growth.
Uh-huh.
So it's okay. It's not It's not anything to be ashamed of if you're a light worker and you feel dark, or to be afraid of. But it is something to process and work your way through.
Mm-hmm. And knowing the difference between what is your stuff and what is someone else's stuff.
Absolutely. That's where light workers kind of get tripped up. We are here on a healing mission. So we want to kind of like take on energies and heal people and always working toward that. So we need to know when to draw the line. Because if we become depleted and we take on all this darkness or all this negativity, we're not able to carry out our mission. And like I said, that starts to create a vicious cycle of depression and feeling worthless and feeling lost. So that's what my books are about, bringing people back to their source and their origin and knowing who they are and why they're here and being able to implement all these practices into their life and their work.
Well, thank you so much, Savannah. We have a lot of people on the switchboard right now, and some of them are wanting to avail themselves of your gifts.
Absolutely.
And we do have some others that that just have questions, and I have a feeling the questions will not be as lengthy as the others, so I'm going to start with the first caller. His name, as soon as I get this button pushed. Keep in mind, folks, Mercury is retrograde, so we don't expect computers to be working perfectly right now. Ralph,
yeah.
You are on the air. Do you have a question for Savannah?
Hi, yes, certainly do, and thank you very much. And this is a very good program. And I just had a quick question about the dark energy. Do you believe that as Savannah, as we transition to fifth dimension, that the dark energies will still be allowed or not?
Good question. And yes, I do believe they'll be allowed, because I believe that the earth plane and our source creator seeks balance. I think that there needs to be a balance of the energetic scales. Like I said, without dark energy, light energy would not exist. Without the night, we wouldn't have the sunrise, or we wouldn't have the day. So it has to be. It's just part of our energetic field. So it will be allowed, but it will be kept in check. It will be kept in more of a balanced manner, and not kind of overcoming us, which has been happening. We've been kind of, the scales have tipped into the darkness, and that's why we have all these wonderful souls that are coming in to bring that light energy back and bring it into balance again. So I really believe that, yes, the darkness will be here, but it will be in a more balanced way with the light. And again, it's nothing to be afraid of. Remember that dark energy and evil, they're not the same thing. So it's not to be feared, but it is something that's necessary.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Okay, thank you so much.
Looking forward to reading your book.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for calling, Ralph. Good to hear from you. And I think I'd like to add to that, Savannah, if it's a matter of terminology.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, I think of, as opposed to light and dark, it's up spiral and down spiral. And the down spiral is, it's part of a cycle. There's growth, there's birth, there's growth. And then things that are of the down spiral are things that are going to eventually fizzle out.
Right.
And then that energy is recycled. And it's to me, it's more of a up spiral and down spiral. And certainly, you can't have, all life with no death, because that's part of the life birth,
exactly.
Life death cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So, I agree with you completely. Don't think of the dark as the evil, because it's two different energies, two different things, and the good analogy without the nighttime, we couldn't have any daytime, or we wouldn't
exactly.
be as grateful, we wouldn't be as exalted as we are in the daytime.
Right. If we didn't know sadness, we'd never know happiness. We'd never know the feeling of joy. So it's necessary to have this, have the dark energy. And one thing I really wanted to get across in my books is that it's not to be feared, that it's part of our cycle, as you're saying. It's part of what needs to be. And that Source really seeks balance, not all light, not all dark, but a balance. And that's what we need to be able to progress and for humanity to really kind of transition into the next phase, which is where, you know, we're coming upon that now.
Right. And it's the imbalance that has taught people to resist and to fight and, you know, and making evil and darkness all the same kind of thing. It's not. It really is. We are coming to a point of balance. And I think a lot of that is because of the reestablishment of the divine feminine energies on the planet.
Yes.
Are bringing us back to that balance.
Definitely. There's a lot of different energies and different kind of, like you're saying, that are being sent to the earth. I feel over at least the last 100 years infiltrating to kind of bring those scales back. I wrote a little bit in the book about how we've become very materialistic. Humanity has become attached to the material, and it makes it hard for these souls to leave the earth plane. They're going to pass over. They're going to die physically, but they are still attached to the earth plane, and they will stay earthbound, and they will harbor dark energy, which also contributes to our energy field. So we have souls and spirits in the non-physical as well that are taking up space with dark energy. And I believe that that's a reason why we're seeing all these spirit rescuers coming forward, and even what they call themselves ghost hunters. They're really light workers, or these high-level souls that are being activated to help release these earthbound spirits that are contributing to the dark energy. So it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's been going on for a long time. I think that, you know, a lot of people who are addicted to substances, who are greed, who are addicted to material possessions, will stay here and, you know, keep the earth dark. So that's why they're being released at this time. So there's a lot going on. We have help. We're not alone. We are never abandoned by the higher beings on the higher realms of light and wisdom. And, you know, they have been sending help for us.
Well, thank you for that. That's well put. We have still a lot of callers now with personal questions that they're needing your assistance with. So I'm going to ask everyone to please be mindful of the time, and that there are other people waiting, so let's try to do this as efficiently as possible. So first of all, I am going to pick up the mic here for Mike, 248.
You're hello, ladies.
With Savannah. Hello.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, quick thing, I'm about just over a year into my own development, which has kind of come into my 40s. And I just was curious in what kind of direction you saw that going into.
Well, first thing, before you even were brought on, I got the name Michael. So I don't know if it was you, but I do also feel that you have a very strong energy of the Archangel Michael, who is working with you. So I think that you're going to work with him and also be able to do some healing work as well, like energetic healing, and I'm seeing his sword, so I'm seeing kind of like cord cutting, that kind of work, that kind of practice. I think that people are going to be drawn to you that have a lot of heart chakra issues, and you're going to be doing a lot of releasing of that type of toxic energy for people. So you're highly empathic, Mike, I want you to know, and you're highly intuitive. And I'm being told that you need to follow that little voice, because your higher self is trying to step forward and kind of take the lead. I'm not sure prior if there were some issues in your life, because I feel a lot of there's some pain and some grief energy around your past. and they are working with you to release that in order to step into your role as a healer. Okay, so you know, keep working on releasing your own energies as well with Michael, Archangel Michael.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, and good luck to you, and I think you're going to do wonderfully.
Oh, thank you very much for the work.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for calling, Mike. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Okay, so we are going to talk now with Eileen.
Hi, Shivana.
Hi, Eileen. Welcome.
Welcome. Everything you're saying, I'm like right there with you, walking right beside you the whole time. I totally understand where you're coming from. I have been living this path myself, and I could have a conversation with you for hours. My time right here now on this planet is changing with the work that I'm to be doing. I've always been working on a very large scale through the creative talents that I was born with.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like there's something more that I'm supposed to be doing, and Spirit works with me very, very
absolutely
closely.
And I get a image that you are absolutely a channeler. So throughout your creative work, and I feel like a lot of this that's coming through you is really from channeled from the divine and channeled from the higher realms. So I want to encourage you to maybe even begin to write, because I think you're going to find that I see a bit of a wall, but it's going to break down. And once that wall breaks down, you're going to find that the information that's flowing through you, it's going to even shock you. You're not even going to know where it came from, because you are absolutely channeling information from your crown chakra. It's starting to come in. Have you been feeling any tingling in the top of your head or any sensation around that area? Because I can see it opening up.
Well, I feel it every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I always, and I hear. I'm very clairaudient.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's funny, on 11/11, I built a whole vegetable garden out in my backyard, you know. It's like, they're telling me, okay, I got to go buy the wood, and I got to go buy the dirt, and I got to put it together today.
Well,
somebody showed up, and we did it, and, you know, it's like I manifest things really fast.
Yeah, and you're definitely downloading a lot of information. So I want you to kind of take maybe even a keyboard or a pen and paper, and I want you to try to open up that channel, because there's a lot of information waiting to flow through you.
Like in what respects, though? Because I work with herbs, and I work with food, and I work with color, and I...
Well, perhaps you're going to write a book about just on that and how to teach people how to do it for themselves.
Okay.
Because I'm feeling like there's a lot of information that needs to channel through you. And it's probably to do with what you're doing, your life's work, and how to heal people through these methods. And I think that you need to start to, like I said, sit down, clear your mind, either if you want to use your computer or a pen and paper, whatever you're comfortable with, and I think you're going to be shocked at the information that's coming through you.
What does this have to do with my husband? Because I've been married to this guy for 24 years, and I know I want to know she was describing it earlier, is my work with him over? Or is he on the path with me? Because he lives in another state.
Right, right. You know what? I think that there's a pause. I think that your soul contract with your husband has not been completed yet. It's not over yet. There is more work to be done together. And I mean, I'm not sure of exactly when, but I'm hearing the end of 2013, there's a collaboration of creating something that's very healing for many people. So you may be working with him towards the end of next year, but it is paused, and there is a soul contract to come together and help heal many people together. So I don't think it's over yet.
Okay, super.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Great work.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I love you.
Oh, we love you.
Have a good night. I'm going to
keep
listening.
Thanks for calling, Eileen.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much. What beautiful callers you have. Beautiful energy.
Well, I think these people are familiar with your work.
Mm-hmm.
next we are going to go to the next caller, Mary at Area 706. You're on the air.
Hi, Savannah.
Hi, Mary. Welcome.
How are you? Thank you.
I'm good.
A friend of mine has offered to step forward and help financially for a little bit here, and I was wondering if I needed him to help. And I approached him today, and I was wondering if he was going to be able to come through.
Okay. I'm going to say that, yes, he is going to offer you some help. I see the help coming toward the end of this month, maybe early December at the very, very latest, so within the next 2 weeks. And I think that this is a short-term kind of help. And there is like some type of repayment or exchange later in the future. So, yes, he will be helping, but it's not as if you're just going to be, you know, taking his help, and you're going to be doing something back with him and for him. So I think you need the help. I think that he's been sent for a reason. There's a very divine plan here to this relationship. It's not just he's not just here to help you financially. Something else is going on under the surface. Whether you're aware of it or not, it will come to light by January of next year. And I think that you're going to get through this time. I want you to really watch your lower back and maybe even like bladder or kidney issues, because I'm being called to that area. Maybe pain or, you know, just even to sciatica, something in that area. And I think you're going to get through this time with the help of your friend, and you will also be working with him together on something later, because it's a very, very karmic, kind of deeply bonded relationship.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mary. I hope that helps you.
It does. Thank you. Bye.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. Okay. Let's see. I'm just kind of going down. Oops. Hang on a second. The switchboard just jumped. Okay. We'll go back and get that again. I'm telling you. Okay. So next we are going to talk to... Giovanna, is that your correct name? Area 203.
Yes. Hi. Well, I intended to ask you about my cat Freya Blue, but since in the interim I've been listening to your voice and it's been igniting some codes and such, and now I'm being guided to ask you about Italy. And I believe you mentioned you have a grandmother from Sicily.
Yes, my grandmother was from Sicily.
Yeah, my maternal side is from Sicily as well, but there's something about Italy back some generations, and something dealing what I'm going through now with my older sister,
mm-hmm.
and completing, releasing from the family grid, and something with a dark force from that time in Italy.
I can see it. I can see it, and it's almost as if that there was some type of issue between the families. I don't see her as your sister in a past life. The life that I'm seeing in Italy, I see her more as a neighbor. There's a combat over boundaries of some sort. So I'm not sure if you have like boundary issues with your sister or her trying to overstep into your life here. But it seems like there was a battle.
There's a lot of issues going on. Yeah, that boundary is definitely resentment.
Yeah.
A lot of resentment.
Right, and
so
you can understand that, and it's almost as if that you were neighbors, but very much not friendly neighbors. So this has carried over the boundary, the property issue for some reason in Italy back in this lifetime that I'm seeing. And I know it sounds, you know, out there, but there was some type of battle over land. And, you know, you may be very drawn to Italy because you want to go back there and reclaim which was taken from you by your sister now. So, I mean, I'm not sure if you can understand that message, but
understand. Yeah, no, I am drawn to going to Italy, and I was going to go over the summer, but it's delayed until I think...
You will go because you need to go for healing purposes.
But
this is,
in regards to my sister now, I'm trying to complete whatever I can. Do you, because I'm going to be leaving and moving soon, and I've been staying with her to complete this. So, it's,
right.
Like, what can I do? Or
well, okay, you need to release. You need to release all this from the past lives and the boundary issues, and kind of let her kind of be. You've balanced out a lot of karma with her already.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that. Your sister has some, there's something very unstable about her energy,
yeah.
And also very wounded.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not sure what happened to her, but she's had a lot more, in this current lifetime, a lot more trauma, it seems, to the heart chakra than you have for some reason. So I think you need to kind of just release her, kind
mm-hmm.
of cut the cord and, you know, say that, you know, this is, it's done. You know, the karma is pretty much done from what I can see, and
yeah.
really let it be, because this is going back several lifetimes, and I also see another lifetime in Greece with her. So I'm not sure where exactly there, but there's always combat between the two of you. This has got to end. You know, it's got to be healed. So, you know, you can flush out, work on that your own heart chakra, and also kind of work on hers through, you know, just kind of... transmitting some positive energy toward her and release and forgive. That's all you can do.
Yes, absolutely right. And I'm sweating. I'm feeling the energy doing that
yeah.
right now, actually. And absolutely, that's where I'm at right now. So, yes.
So release and heal. That's
yeah.
that's what you can do. You have to break this cycle of kind of combat. That's the word I'm getting between your sister and yourself. It has to stop in this lifetime or it's going to repeat itself, and we don't want that.
No, no. Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow, did I get a feeling of really a battle there?
Yeah, that just keeps on going. So, absolutely, it's time to end that cycle because I was thinking, well, what if the next time she's like her mother and,
well, yeah.
you know, and the cycle's not over yet. That's just kind of like
no.
Putting a landmine in your future path.
I think that karma's been released. Now it's time to let it go. A lot of times we do fulfill our karma or our contracts, and we just refuse to let it go. We just won't release. That's a big part of healing is releasing.
Mm-hmm. Really yeah. being able to detach.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I call it going Vulcan.
Yeah.
You know, you turn into Mr. Spock, and you really can detach those emotions for that particular instance or whatever. It has to be done. So next we are going to be talking to, I think it's Joanne. Hello, from 347. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Savannah. Hello.
Hang on a second. Savannah has she's dropped off the switchboard. I've been telling you Mercury's retrograde, and I think we'll wait for her to call back in. Oh no, Savannah, are you there? Well, we can't hear her phone. We cannot hear you. This is like really good training for Mercury retrograde energies. She is, okay, something was wrong with that connection, so she had to hang up, and she'll be calling back in. So just have a little patience here, Joanne. I'm sure she'll be calling back in a second. But you want to tell the audience what your question is, because I'm sure that there are a lot of people that would be interested to know.
Oh, sure. My question deals with soul contracts and figuring out when a soul contract is completed and what we can look for. Specifically, I'm having an issue with my mother where a year and a half ago my life kind of went to a standstill, and I moved back with her, and I'm just curious, you know, is this contract completed? Do I have more to go? and what signs to look for if it is in fact completed.
Okay. Well, Savannah, you're back on. Can we hear you this time? Hello? Savannah, do you have a mute button on your microphone, on your phone? Because your mic...
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, there's a hum on the line, though.
Okay.
But at least you're here. I mean, before, I mean, I thought maybe you dropped off the switchboard, and I looked, and you were still there with your mic on, but nothing was coming out. So,
that's odd. Okay.
Well, we have, like I said, Mercury's retrograde, so you just have to roll with it. We have Joanne on the line, and she was wanting to know about the signs that you can tell when a soul contract is up, especially, Joanne, you want to just say again what you said about your mom?
Oh, sure. About a year and a half, my life seemed to go to a standstill, like financially and otherwise, and I've been living with my mother for the past year and a half, and I think that I've cleared out a lot, cleared a lot of karma with her, but I'm wondering, you know, do I still have more to go? What signs should I look for if that contract is, in fact, completed or not?
Yeah. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear?
Yeah.
Okay.
We can,
okay.
But there's a problem on the line, so...
Okay.
I don't hear
the hum, but I hope you can make out what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think that you have completed an awful lot of work with your mother throughout this lifetime, and I think now is her turn to kind of help you. I've seen you care for your mother and almost nurture or parent her at some point in your life. So that's what I'm looking at. And it's almost like it's becoming in a reverse situation. I think that it's okay. It's the karma is pretty much balanced. I feel like the contract has been fulfilled, and I feel like it's come around. I'm getting the three decades, so I'm not sure how old you are, but
yeah,
right around
30,
yeah, right around the 30s, it's been cleared, and I think early in the 30s. So I'm not sure if something occurred at that time, but I think it did clear, and I think she's here to help you. Do you find that you've parented your mother throughout your lifetime? Because seeing that. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm seeing like a 12-year-old child who is trying to fix and trying to heal everything within the home. So I don't know if you could relate to that, but...
But I just wonder how much more I'm obligated to do, or that
I'm
always feeling this way that I'm obligated.
Okay, this is a prime example. See, now you won't let it go. You're not obligated anymore. You have fulfilled that contract. You have helped heal. You've helped hold family together. That's what I'm seeing. And I think that you can let it go. You've done your work. So it's time for you to say, okay, you know, I've done my work. It's time to stop and let it go. It's okay for your mom to kind of support you now at this time when you're in need, and you're all balanced. You've done your work, so you can put that to rest.
Okay. Sounds good.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome, and bless you, and good luck with your
situation.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Joanne. Bye-bye.
See, that's a great example of contracts or karma. We fulfill them, and sometimes we're almost attached to our karma or attached to our contracts, and we won't let them go, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, you get used to it.
Yeah.
And it becomes a habit.
Exactly. We become
mm-hmm.
attached. And then we'll find that the other person that we're dealing with kind of says, okay, go away, that's enough. Yeah, we don't realize that they don't need this anymore, that they're
uh-huh.
fulfilled, we're fulfilled. We can kind of walk away with clean hands now. It's okay to let it go.
Great. Well, we have, let's see, 1, 2, 3 more callers with questions, Kathleen, Tina, and Joan. So just those will be the last three we can take because we're running short on time. So, ladies, try to be brief enough to allow time so we can get everybody's question in. So next we are going to Kathleen.
Welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. My question is kind of what you just addressed regarding contracts and knowing when they're over and being able to walk away from them. For some reason now I'm having a harder time walking away. I did it very well throughout my younger life. I seem to always understand that people were in my life only for periods of time, and I jokingly would tell people they were just an assignment. And now I realize everything I used to say was very accurate. I'm having a real hard time letting go of a love relationship. I find myself hanging on to that.
Okay.
I guess because I actually still would like that type of a love relationship in my life.
Of course.
And yet I know that right now, unless somebody is very spiritually evolved, I cannot even have someone in my life.
I think that it's true. This person that you're holding on to is not the one to help balance and fulfill you. In fact, it's dysfunctional. Again, another symptom of a light worker trying to heal and trying to, you know, complete their mission by pulling in wounded partners. So you have to let it go. Understand that you cannot heal everyone as a light worker or a healer in this lifetime. You can't heal people that don't want to be healed when they're totally resistant. You know that you can't do your job. So it's time to let it go. You didn't fail.
Over and over again. I think that's why I couldn't let it go, because I really felt like I failed miserably and never had tried so hard on in many levels with this person and I still actually keep feeling their pain. And I keep telling them, I even keep telling them to go away, and then I mean that, and then I want to hang on
you're kind of in a codependent situation.
And
that's a cycle that's very difficult to break and get out of. But if you're aware of it, it's a lot easier. Okay?
Yeah.
So you have not failed. Just by that message coming through to Spirit should be very strong validation for you. It's not a matter of you failing in your work or in your mission here. It's a matter of this other person not wanting to heal wounds from their past. I feel a tremendous amount of grief energy in this person's past, a tremendous amount of loss in their past that they cannot shake.
And I could never put my finger on what I knew the same thing. Very, I always viewed him as a 12-year-old child.
Well, that's probably where he was traumatized at that point.
I felt that same thing as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the heart chakra closed at that point.
Yes.
So
yes.
There's nothing,
yes.
You know, if you couldn't get it open, weren't able to work with him, don't feel you failed. It's time to move on. I do see a relationship for you that's very, very clear, and it's a very beautiful healing relationship. Now you need healing as well.
Yeah.
Because now you have wounds that you didn't have before this relationship. So I see a male coming in that has a very strong healing energy. So he comes from I don't know where you are, but I'm hearing the state of Oregon, so whether he's from there or he relocated from there. But I want you to keep that in mind. For some reason,
lately I've been drawn to Seattle and that area. I've been wanting to travel, to drive. I have two dogs. They have to go with me. I won't leave them behind. And so, Yes, and I get, and thank you for that, because that's my next question. I feel that I am supposed to go somewhere, but it would help to know the direction to where.
Well, I think I just gave you the direction.
I think
that your next relationship, very healing, very connected, kind of. How can I put it? It's just very deep relationship comes in that area, and this person is a healer. You know, just the nature of their spirit. He may not be a practicing healer where this is
right.
where he, you know, but his soul is that of a healer. And also, I wanted to say before you even said that, the very strong connection to animals, very strong connection. So he may work around animals or just love animals. So I think you can know that you did the best you can. Let go of this dysfunctional relationship. Get out of the cycle. Bless the process.
Yes.
Send love and light to your ex-partner and take that trip. Take the trip and heal yourself and find your next relationship.
Thank you.
Okay, good luck to you.
I know I have a great adventure. I just wanted to know the step and the direction to go to it.
Right, and you were on the right track. We both kind of came up with the same kind of direction. So you listen to your intuition. You're very intuitive.
I am.
Absolutely. So you kind of already know the answers, but you just need some validation. That's all.
Right. I've been so shut off from people like me for so long that and I know I shouldn't be shut off. It's not a good thing. Yes.
Because part of elevating your vibration and your frequency and achieving mastery of your role is to seek out others like you.
Right.
That are going to help raise up your vibration, not bring it down. So it's very important. Yeah, it's very important that you seek out others who are like you.
And I think my biggest difficulty has been how do you do that in a way that, and I really don't even care if people think I sound nutty anymore. Hey, but how do I ask questions where I'm on a path to others like myself, and and the more I ask those questions, the more I stumble onto things like the star seeds. And the minute I heard that, I knew immediately.
Well,
I knew.
Well, you will if you follow that intuition, you will automatically be guided to where you need to be. Just allow yourself to flow with wherever spirit's going to take you or wherever the universe is going to take you, and don't worry about where you're going to end up. Just start out on the path, and you will be carried to where you should be.
That's great advice there, Savannah.
And we're going to have to move on because we have two more people. So I want to thank you, Kathleen, for calling in and take her advice.
You,
just follow your gut, okay? What feels good is right. Okay. Thank you so much.
Love and light.
Same to you, dear.
Okay. All right, we have two more callers and only a couple of minutes here because we need to have time to call to wind up. So next we are going to be talking to Tina, and Tina, you're on the air.
Good evening, ladies. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Tina.
Hi, love. I have a question. I have attempted to start, well, I have started working with different people in the past year and a half who are, you know, light workers, you know, doing certain types of work. Things always seem to start off very well. It goes well, and then there's a shift of energy that comes. And either I become frustrated and I leave, or they do something. Well, it's generally me walking away. Simply because, in my opinion, they're not being honest or they're not being real. I've seen too much into their life. And I'm not necessarily to judge, but just getting in a place where I need people who are going to be real.
Well, then, yes. And the people that have been, they're actually attracted to you. You're not, you may think you're finding them, but I think they're finding you somehow. And
yes.
They're just not in alignment with where you are at this time. And
mm-hmm.
you go in and you start the relationship and then you discover it and you pull out. So you're going to naturally, if you kind of block out these kind of people and kind of you find your group instead of them coming to you, you're going to naturally just kind of shift and go toward those that are more like you. You're kind of, it's what's happening, like I said, you may not realize it, but they're actually finding you. So you have to block out those type of people, and you have to choose your own groups to align with, because
mm-hmm.
you're very high frequency, extremely high frequency. I mean, as soon as you tuned in, I could feel just the elevation of the vibration go up a notch.
Mm-hmm.
So, you may find it difficult to relate to a lot of people that are coming your way. You see through ego,
mm-hmm.
and you see through fear energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right away you can pull it out. But what happens is you kind of get pulled in first by them because of your healer energy. You kind of
mm-hmm.
want to go in. You want to, you know, help and be aligned. But you need to really choose more carefully and find your own groups. Don't let them find you.
That makes perfect sense. And with that, I did a read on myself about a show that I want, you know, that I'm, like, I have this, I'm going to start it. And what you're saying is exactly right, because it does appear that I found them, but they did attract to me.
Absolutely.
So I did
really
read
look
on my,
at it, yes.
Huh?
I said, if you really examine it, you'll find that they have been pulled toward you because of your
yes.
light energy.
Yes, and I found that in every aspect of my life, not just this particular business, but my relationships, things like that, people who are, you know, needing that high vibration, needing that energy, you know, I always look through people, I see them, and I try to not judge them, but I make really poor choices. In the past, I've made really poor choices about friendship.
Well, you know, you're not the only one. It happens to people like you, or sensitive people, or people who are healers in nature. You just want to heal and you want to help.
I don't
want
to do that anymore.
Yeah. Well,
I don't.
You know, it's in your nature to want to heal. But
yes.
you have to control it. You have to learn how to not allow your healing abilities just to go unbridled. You have to learn some control. And you should pick up the books. That would help, I think, because I think what's happening is you have such a strong healing capacity, but it's kind of out of control.
Okay.
So you want to kind of heal and fix everyone. And it's we can't. You know, it's impossible. We can't do that.
You know,
Yeah.
Well,
go ahead.
I've gotten to the place where I don't want to help anyone.
But,
and I don't want to be that person, you know, that doesn't want to help anyone. But like you said, bridling it and bringing it under control. Now, I did a read on myself for a new adventure for myself, so that I'm not necessarily working with other people that ultimately can, you know, eventually show who they truly are. So I did the read on it, and it came up all very, very negative. Like, there was a lot of jealousy, resentment, false words, false faces. Where is that? What is that energy? Because I don't want to tolerate too much more stuff. I've been through enough.
Yeah. I think that you have a lot of fear now, you know, because of this. And I don't want you to close up that heart chakra when you say, now I don't want to help anyone. That's going to stagnate, because as a light worker, you're channeling all your energy through your heart chakra. And
mm-hmm.
when you close it up, it becomes stagnant. So all that negativity that you're getting in your cards or your reading, whichever it is, it could be coming from really your own energy and your
own fear.
Yeah, your own fear. It doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to attract people that are fake or full of ego. that doesn't have to be. You can attract people who are more in alignment with yourself. So make sure, I want you to really do some cleansing of the heart chakra area.
Okay.
Really flush it out,
mm-hmm.
because I feel like you got a lot of that toxic energy from these relationships trapped in there, and you're.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit afraid that you're going to close it up. Also, what I tell people who I feel are in your situation, seek out unconditional love wherever you can find it. If you have babies, or if you like animals, or family members who love you unconditionally, you need that right now. Even
I don't
if
have
nothing,
much of that at all.
Yeah, but you need that. Do you? I mean, you don't feel like you be. I don't feel like you would be prone to working with animals to me. But
no.
How about children? How about, is there anyone that has a child? You
don't
need,
have children myself.
Okay. You need
and that's
that.
The only unconditional. I'm trying not to drain them too much because
right.
we spend so much time together. I try not to drain them. But even in relationship and things like that, it just appears that everything gets shut off. Like I am, you know, I just did some work on myself. And I don't want to hold up the call from someone else, but I just did some work on myself and, you know, released some very, very, very negative energy that was sent to
Good.
Me. And I'm,
mm-hmm.
You know, of course, you know, shaking off the residue right now, waiting for the for Mercury to come out of retrograde so I can really get
right.
some new energy to flow. But in addition to that, like, there has to be some shift of energy. I mean, I feel... Like yesterday, I felt like my life here is almost over, and I've never felt that before.
No. You are closing up your heart chakra. So if the message that's got to come out of this conversation is you need to cleanse and keep that heart chakra open, and really that is really most important to you right now because you're in danger of shutting it. And that's not a good place for a light worker because then you're closing off your connection. And,
okay.
that, you know, light,
right.
light workers work through that. So please work on that area.
All right.
Okay, thank
okay.
you so much. And
thank
we are
you.
Going to try to squeeze in
thank you, sweetie.
Our last call.
All
thank
right.
you, Tina. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you.
So we really have 2 minutes, and we are going to be talking to Joan. So, Joan, can you... You're on the air. Can you
okay, that works good. I talk fast. I talk
okay.
fast. I can do this. I'm just calling in because 8 years ago I was going through a horrible divorce, and it was the most traumatic mess that you can imagine. And every year at this time of year it comes up. And, you know, I think I'm better. I think I'm evolving, and I'm getting there, and I'm so much better than I was. But every year this garbage comes up again. So I just was wanting advice on the best way to just once and for all, free myself of that negative.
Oh, you know, the first thing that comes up is I want you to go and do some work with people that need help for this holiday season. And I know that sounds cliche, but you
That's
need
what
as
I do.
Well. Yes, you need to be doing that. And I want you to focus on that. I'm not sure if you heard in the beginning, earlier in the show, we talked about where our focal point is and how it becomes magnified. I want you to magnify your gratitude and focus on gratitude and helping others and being grateful for what you have. And you're going to see that expand. And you're not going to focus on the negativity and the wounds and the pains of the past. It's time for you to release that. Move forward. And this holiday season, I want you to continue with your work, with helping others, and really shift your focus on gratitude.
Okay. Okay. I'll
All
work
right.
on that
All right.
some more. Thank you.
Oh, yes, go do it. Thank you. Have a wonderful holiday.
You too.
Thank you. Thank
Bye-bye.
You so much, Joan.
Thank you.
Well, you know, I have this image of a giant eraser, and when images of uncomfortable or unhappy scenes come to my mind, I just get out a giant eraser and I erase them and then
Absolutely.
shift my focus to something that makes me feel good. Well,
that's all.
Savannah,
that's right.
It has mm-hmm. really been a pleasure having you on our show
oh,
tonight. I want to thank
you
so much for sharing your light with us. And I want to encourage everyone to go to your website, which is SavannahArienta.com. And you can find that link on our show announcement. And please let us know how when your new book comes out. Maybe you'll come back on again. We can talk about your new book.
And
I would
like
love
to thank you so much for sharing your time with us. And Lavendar, I know that Anastasia had to go because she was working this evening, but Lavendar, thank you so much for your work, and just wanted to say good night to everyone on behalf of Starseed Radio Academy and Savannah Orienta, our guest. Thank you for being with us. Lavendar, I know you're there. She's got her phone on mute. But thank you so much for being with us, everyone. We'll be back next week, and happy November, happy Thanksgiving. Good night, everyone. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.